Let's start. Rabbi Yisai Memtes. Mizmar Memtes at the very end. We're at the very end of Mizmar Memtes. Page. The Mizmar that we say at the base of it. Okay, we're up to Pasuk Chaf. Okay, we're going to finish up with the Mizmar. Then we're going to go back and read it very quickly. And then we'll do the Rashis. And then some Mefarshim. Okay, good morning. Rav Mordechai Mintz, who is joining us in the world of virtuality, and to Safra, Baruch Horowitz. Okay, here we go. Mizmar Rav Tovei Ador Avoysav Ad Netzach Lo Yiru Or. Page 444, three fours, 444. Page 444, Tovei Ador Avoysav Ad Netzach Lo Yiru Or, Odom Bikor V'lo Yavin, Nimshal Kabhemos Nidmu. Let's read the Mefarshim. I'm not going to even attempt to say it in my own words. Mitzudos David. Pasek, page 445 now. 445. Tavoy kasher tavoy hal haskil af ad gemul dor avayisav asher gam kein hoyisav kol chem dasam le'etsoif hoyin. When a person will come to attempt to understand, even ad gemul dor avayisav, the gemul of the door of his forefathers, asher gam kein hoyso kol chemdasam lasayif hayin. This idea, this desire to accumulate wealth is nothing new. The previous generations were obsessed with wealth as well. Os tavin, we will then understand, sh'ad netzach lo yiru or olam haba. Then we will come to understand that forever, the people who engage in this activity, as we mentioned last week many, many times, just a matter of attitude, when this is the only thing that is important, they will never come to see from this approach to life, Olam Haba. Let's just read the next pasuk, then we'll come back and try to explain it better. Adam Bikar, return to Lemar, Af Tavin, also understand the following. He's giving over your instructions. Ki ha'adam asher hu bikar ho'esher, a person who has the preciousness, we had this before, the bikar ho'esher, the wealth. Okay, bikar over here is just another word for describing the wealth. V'lo yavin leval yasim boy kol chem daasev v'liv toyach boy, does not understand the danger that comes along with wealth, the danger of being drawn after the wealth and putting one's confidence and security in the money. Shehu nimshal, this person, he's compared labehemois v'daimim heim b'cheshon hadas v'dimyon gomor. Okay, the two words, we've had this before in the pasuk before, nimshal and nidmu, mean basically the same exact thing, and this is just nothing more than an expression, that the word kabehemois is the object that we are comparing a person to, and we just basically compare him twice. Nimshal, nidmu, kabehemois. A person is compared to an animal, but in order that the expression should sound better and be more poetic, we put one word before the word behema and the other word after the behema. But it just basically means that a person that does not want to appreciate that, he doesn't want to be a yovin, to realize that the bikar of Adam, bikar means the wealth, the assets, what is considered in the eyes of the world, the value, what is precious in the eyes of the world to man, which means his money. If he does not want to yavin, understand and appreciate that it's not going to bring him to Olam Haba, and it's going to just cause him great harm, such a person is nothing more than an animal. Now, the pasuk before is adding to that idea by telling us that the person should look backwards. He should look backwards and study history and come to realize that the Dor Avos of the generation of his forefathers, they also, the people of that generation also, they put their confidence in their money, and look where they are now. They're gone. They're not here. And in when you'll study history, you'll see that all the money, the more they put their confidence in their wealth, the less they have. And that lesson should teach us that Ad Netzach, going forward into the future, Lo Yiru, or the people that pursue this approach to life, are never going to see Olam Haba. Okay, I know it's very difficult. Let's now just read them. Okay, all right. You're not gonna right. Okay, exactly, and it fits very well with the last sukkah that we learned last week. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyah B'Dvaroy. Okay, so let's try. Okay, let's try to just translate it one more time and read the mitzvahs one more time, and then we're gonna review. Okay, the pasuk over here is saying of Tovay Ador Acheron. What is this sukkah? The Tovay. It seems that the mitzvah is saying is giving us instructions. Tovay, go. Why don't you go back and study the previous generations? Study them. And there were people in the previous generations who pursued wealth and devoted their entire life to accumulate enormous amounts of wealth. And they succeeded. And now, when we look back and study their lives, what became of them? What became of their families? What became of all of the wealth? Nothing. Nothing. This is a Musar Haskel for us to appreciate going forward. Ad Netzach, that until the end of days, it's not going to change. Those who will have an attitude to pursue wealth for its own sake, Lo Yiru, or will not see Olam Haba. Or is a code word for Olam Haba. The Dor HaVosav is a code word for an expression for the past. Ad Netzach is the future. And Tavo is an instruction for us to analyze and study history, look what became of these people, and use that as a tool to appreciate that in the future, it's not going to change. And any Adam, any person, an Adam Bikar, any person that puts his confidence in what is considered to be the Yakar, what is precious to man, which is money, and Velo Yavin, does not want to dwell upon this lesson, such a person is no different than an animal. And what did it say in the previous sukkah? The tzoyin, when a sheep dies, not only does its guf go into the ground, its neshama goes into the ground and never goes anywhere and just disintegrates. The neshama of the tzoyin does not go to any type of olam haba. Now let's read the mitzvahs one more time. Right, so I said it, someone says it many times. It just means attitude. A person has to obviously pursue wealth. I mentioned you this story last week. Someone said I was at an event and someone got up and he said that it's a true story. The person was doing very, very well in business. Extremely well, very successful. And he asked his Rav, is, you know, I'm doing very, very well. I have really a lot of money, a lot to put away for a very, very long time. Maybe I should cut back in business and I should devote myself to learning. I should quit my job, you know, I'll quit and I'll just go to Kollel and sit and learn. And this Gadol told him, definitely not. That's not your tafkid. Your tafkin in life, this is where you're matzliach. This is your mahatzlocha. Of course, you kaveitim l'toira. And even though you have enough money for the rest of your life, if Hashem has given you this gift of this hatzlocha, siyat d'shmaya, this is your tafkid. And you have to pursue it to the nth degree and accumulate as much money as you possibly can. And then, of course, use that money for, you know, chesed, tzedakah, chesed, ma'asim tovim. If this is what Hashem has given you, every person, you get a sense, after a certain period of time in this world, what is your tafkid here in this world? There are certain things that you're just not good at. No matter how much you try, it just doesn't go. And there are certain things, you just have a, it works, it goes. It goes. It just somehow, even if you're not good at it, you know how to maneuver and it works. Those things, many Gedolim say the same thing. If when you discover what you're able to achieve, that is a siman muvak min hashamayim. This is your tafkid, and dwell upon it. Dwell upon it, exploit it, and maximize the most you can from what you know you can do. So obviously, it's not fun to take handouts. Person who enjoys taking handouts, they're rahman al-san, they're sick people. They're literally sick people. People who come around collecting, and they're very.
There is people who need money, and they will not collect for them. Somebody else will collect for them.
Who says someone's going to collect for them? Who says?
You go around, says that there's a mona. She doesn't go by herself.
Okay, so she's embarrassed. I mean, right. So I mean, everything. Listen, there are infinite number of situations, but obviously, just because over here, this mizmar is putting down people who pursue wealth. Chas v'shalom. That's the way Hashem made the world. It's just purely a matter of attitude.
To the exclusion of morality.
To what?
To the exclusion of other important things. You know, pursuing wealth single-mindedly without...
Right. It's just attitude. As we said many times, this entire mizmor is nothing more than an attitude. Everyone needs money. Everyone wants money. You can't live without money. And if a person has the ability, the know-how, and the talent, this is the way the world is. This is what Hashem put us in this world for. It's just the entire mizmor is nothing more than the attitude that the money is not everything. It's the only thing. Yeah.
Doesn't acquire more and more food or whatever it's doing for the sake of giving it out or doing it.
No purpose. Right.
No purpose.
You never saw an animal have a bank account. You never saw an animal.
Other than birds. Birds go and collect food and then give it to their children.
Okay, so there's some of the Mefarshim on the bottom of the Mefarshim that talk about the ant. Yeah, the ant stores.
There was another story with the Gadol. The Gadol was revealed at South. And somebody asked about his father, so his father retired. So the rabbi said, Gedoyla, no, he should not retire, let him work. Gedoyla Molocha. Great is a book.
Absolutely.
And in another case, he said, the rabbi Zatzal, how has he spent his Sundays? All of a sudden, to drop everything at Garden Kollel is not going to be easy to make the transition.
Of course not.
You've been spending your Sundays, you know, learning.
Exactly. Right. Everyone, you can't generalize. Everyone is different. Every single situation is different. Everything is different. You can't generalize. But the whole mizmar, I don't chas v'shalom mean any way. I'm saying Ram Shut, and this mizmar is coming to put down anyone that makes a living. God forbid. Chas v'shalom. It's just purely a matter of attitude. We all could appreciate that. We've all met people that make you sick. Everything is money. Everything, there's like, I don't know, maybe you never met these people. Like, everything is just a matter of, where's the money? I don't get paid, I wouldn't twitch if there's not something in it for me, some material gain in it for me. And it's sickening. I there's a certain point, I mean, of course, you shouldn't be abused. No one should abuse anyone, and a person works, he should be paid for his time, that goes without saying. But there's a certain point where there's a demand for money. When everything becomes like that, then the world comes to an end. And that's all this mizmor is saying. It's pursue wealth, succeed, become extremely successful, but it's just, obviously, you're not taking it with you. The money is not going with you. The person does not appreciate that. Adam bikar v'lo yavin. It's a very poetic expression. You have to read the words backwards. If a person does not want to understand that the bikar is not the ikar in this world, it's very nice, it's very beautiful, it's very important. Bayis noe is marchivin daitoy shel adam. It's a beautiful house. It's a different life. It's a whole different mindset. You're able to accomplish great things. Everything is like that. Still, you know, I went to Menachem Oval somewhere. I never saw such a thing. I don't want to tell you where I went. I went to Menachem Oval, this house. I never saw something like this. A palace like I've never seen. I could not believe what I saw.
In Brooklyn?
No, not in Brooklyn. I don't want to say anything bad. In Flatbush, in this neighborhood, if you notice, there are a lot of people that have these very big, nice, fancy houses, these big openings, these big entrances. The front door, probably 99.9% of them never walk in that front door. They go into the house or the side door. Okay, I'm sure everyone understands what I'm saying. Yeah, you go down, you see these beautiful houses and these big, beautiful, grand entrances. And if you watch the people who own these houses, they never walk in the front door. They go in the side door. So why do they build this big, fancy front? I always joke with you, why? Because they say when our daughter goes out on a date and the boy comes, the boy's going to come in through the front door. And then finally, she finally her first date, and she arranges, the boy calls her up, I'm going to come pick you up, and the girl tells the boy, when you come from the side door. I don't want the neighbors to see that I'm going out. Come from the side door. So I went to this Menachem Avil.
The side door?
So I come with Waze, and it tells me, you have reached your destination. Okay, I look outside, I see this massive palace. All right, I get out of the car and I say, is this really it? The person I know, so he doesn't have this kind of money. So he was sitting by one of his relatives. There was a whole bunch of Avelim. All right. So I'm looking, where do you go in? I'm looking for the sign. I don't see anyone. So then there's a person sitting in the car across the street and he honks and he points. That's the house, go. So I go to the house. And it didn't even do, now they have a grand entrance like I've never seen. I'm telling you, I've never seen something like this. An entrance with steps going up, like not lo poshut. It didn't even dawn on me, even a hava mina sheba hava mina, that I should go through the main entrance. So I went to the side. Where's the entrance? On the side is here. I can't find it. I go, the guy honks, and he keeps pointing at the main door. I said, what? Where's the entrance? He says to me, like, you idiot. Don't you see there's a massive staircase and there's a massive entrance? I said, what? That's how you go in? Really? It never, he says, yeah. What do you think? So I go up the steps very quietly. And there's a little sign, press the thing hard. They go, I go in there, wow. Wow, what I saw in there. Yeah, I am. So you walk in, bias noam archivin daitoy sheladam. It's taka very nice, it's very, very nice. And the oval that I know is a very humble person. He's not from there. And, you know, it's just a matter of attitudes. Nothing more than attitudes.
Look at it from the other side. This person who owns a house, who's doing a chesed, to give a bigger house to make the avelim comfortable.
Okay, that's right. Absolutely. 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 It's all it means. It's nothing more than attitude. Nothing more than attitude. Now, I know someone, a rabbi of a shul.
They don't want the house to get dirty. They wouldn't give up the house for the avelim.
A rabbi of a shul, over here in Flash and Chaim Berlin, all the years I was in Yeshiva and Chaim Berlin, on Shabbos they have a Kiddush. So the rule is, I don't know if they do now, I haven't davened there in a long time on Shabbos. I davened there every day, davened there this morning, but I don't davened there on Shabbos. On Shabbos, they have sponge cake and seltzer. That's it. Sponge cake, maybe now they have, maybe, I don't even really know. It was very, very similar, because when I was davening there often, they had, how many people davening there on Shabbos? They had 400 people davening there on Shabbos. You're going to make a kiddush for a bar mitzvah, this. You can't expect all the kol yungalite, even the people that are balabatim, not everyone has the means to go make a kiddush. Mm-hmm. So you can go make a private kiddush in the classroom only for invitation. Exactly. It's plenty of money just a sponge cake. Well, you're going to go make a private guest, or go invite, or make a clubs, and only you're invited, you're not invited. So it was standard. It was a standard thing. It was just a very basic.
Too bad it didn't catch on everywhere.
Now, I remember.
The wind kiddish was off.
I remember.
Not that far away from that.
I remember before that, when I was very, very, many, many years ago, I remember before that, I had someone, there was when I was in like an elementary school, so my parents got me a boy to learn with me, a boy in Beis Medrash, to help me, to get me up to speed. And he was a boy in Beis Medrash, he was an old, you know, a boy, whatever, in his early 20s, and he got engaged, and he invited me, I was in elementary school, and he invited me to his Ufruf. So I come on Shabbos, so he told me then, this was in the old... Okay, something over here. Now, so this is back in the old days. So it was a different world then. Okay, and then they had. He told me they had kugel, hot potato kugel. Okay, so he told me that he asked the Rosh Hashiva, should he make, you know, what kind of kiddush? So he says, you make a nice kiddush. I want you to make an expensive kiddush. He told him with kugel hat. That was before, you know, the yeshiva expanded. You know, there was a much
dormitory downstairs.
In the old, where your father used to die, the old building, the old Coney Island Avenue, the old building. In the dining room. Dining room wasn't very. There wasn't. There was a, whatever. It was a very humble. It was a much smaller then. And he told me the yeshiva told him. He told the yeshiva, I don't need it. I don't care. He says no. He told me. I remember him telling me no. He told the yeshiva told him, no. It's not about kavodik. It's your ufruf. You have to make bar kavodik. I don't care. You find the money. You make a nice bar kavodik ufruf with hot food. I remember he was telling me the conversation because I was very close to him. He used to learn with him. We learned with shmooze the whole time, right? So he was telling me that. But then, not that long after, the yeshiva Baruch Hashem exploded, and you know, the population increased, and it's impossible to do something like that anymore. We moved into the new building, 400 people. Fine. I went to Lakewood. I went to a certain simcha, and there it was pretty elaborate, and it was cost quite a lot of money to do this. So I asked the rabbi, and I said, "Are you talking such an expensive? People over here, everyone could afford. Everyone there is working in that development. Mamish, every single person is working. The people who rent basements, some of them are not. Not everyone is working." Because people who are not working are looking for jobs, and the rabbi, that's basically what he does the whole day. He tries to help them get jobs. And he said to me, I know there's a big machloikis about this, what to do. Just make a sponge cake and seltzer, or to be, he says, here we've, his opinion is, there are the haves, and the have-nots. That's what he said to me. And in the meantime, there's always going to be people that have, and there are going to be people that don't have. And somehow we have to try to find the balance. There are people that make more elaborate. And this is not 400 people over here. We're not dealing with 400 people. Now, you know, talking about the simplest kiddush. And there are people that make you know, simpler. And the difference...
But the problem is, when the have-nots feel pressure...
Exactly, auxiliary pressure. Right. So is that a reason... This is a very big debate. Is that a reason that just because this is the takonis, which would turn out to be a total failure, if just because there are people, there is a major segment of society that don't have, should that limit the people that do have from making something more elaborate? Is, you know, this freedom, you live in a country of freedom, is there a makor in the Torah for this? What is the Ritzoyin Hashem? Obviously, to go do something that's so ostentatious and totally crazy and go cause harm to other people and embarrass them, obviously, we're not talking about that. We're talking about people that Baruch Hashem gave them, and they're very successful, and they want to be Mahaneh the Olam by making a beautiful Kiddush on Shabbos for the Olam to enjoy and have what to eat. So... what is the halacha? What is the hashkafa? That next week there's someone who struggles and is making a simcha, and he can't afford to do anything like this, and what he could afford to do is going to be very, very modest. So the person this week, who Baruch Hashem is a very successful person, and gives enormous amount of tzedakah, and wants to be Mahana the Olam. He's not trying to cause anyone any harm. He's trying to, everyone should enjoy themselves. Everyone likes to have a good kiddush. So is that a reason why he should be limited because someone else next week struggles and can't copy this? This is a very big debate.
Maybe what happened
It's a very big debate.
So much money, like somebody just told me, I think it was a bar mitzvah. It was a couple of $1 million. It took everybody to Israel, hotels. It was like a whole big. Maybe the very wealthy guy should do that, because he does it so big that none of the have-nots will even think of trying to compete with.
Listen, I don't know. It's not a healthy thing.
It'll be so beyond. They can't even.
This is a very.
A rich guy, you know, a guy has a lot of money. He says, should I build a nice house or should I
Build
it out? And he said, do both. You're rich, you've got to live like a rich man, and you'll give like a rich man. But if you
very good. You're saying very interesting. You want to live rich? You got to give like you're rich. You can't be a miser. Interesting idea.
If you're rich and you live in a rented apartment with the cockroaches, and if someone says, I need an apartment, you're going to say, okay, I'll give you $10. Go get rent an apartment like I have. You got to be
It's a very big problem.
I've heard from guys who are like in the financial and mortgages and real estate, whatever, and everybody's got to drive a big fancy car. Everybody in the firm.
Yeah.
And if you want to drive a car,
you're not allowed.
You're not allowed. Because we have to give the impression.
Right, okay, that's in business. That's in business. But when you're living in a community, that's when you're in business. That's the way it goes. But we're living in a community, and everyone in your community cannot afford these type of things. And enough people start doing this where it creates pressure on the ordinary person to keep up, and they cannot, and it causes enormous stress and aggravation. Where do you draw the line? They've tried many times takana weddings, right? It just never worked. Why did
the mistake they made was takana, because they forgot to say in the takana that if you have, must spend it.
What?
If you have, you must make a nice kiddush. You must make a nice wedding.
What?
So people enjoy.
No, but the adaraba, look about the takana weddings. Years ago, they tried only a one-man band and only this and only that, and it didn't work. People did not follow the rules. The wealthy people just blatantly violated the rules, and all of the Rosh Hashivas, they all went to the weddings. The ones who signed on the takanas, they themselves went to all of these elaborate weddings, and the whole thing fizzled out overnight. On the other hand, today, if you go to Lakewood, today they have it's like an airport, some of these wedding halls, right? I'm sure you were aware, go right, go left, these big billboards. Yeah. There's no question that the standards generally, even for the very wealthy, generally, I'm not talking about, there are many, many, many exceptions, are very, very close. You know, it's like the wealthy, the way they distinguish themselves is not by the wedding anymore. It's the Sheva Brachas. The Sherbrochs, they'll go to a hotel and spend $1 million. The wedding, they'll have a wedding like every other person, pretty much. You have a one-man band by some of these very wealthy people. They'll have one-man bands. They're just as good.
And invite everyone.
What does everyone? And the wedding, the wedding is a certain standard. And then the things that are more private, you want to go and enjoy your super wealth, you'll make a Sherbrochs in a hotel and spend $500,000. And the wedding, you'll spend on the wedding $20,000 like everyone else does in Lakewood. The same exact type of thing. That pretty much became, that's what really became very, very common, very common. No one needs to, that's exactly the point what this rabbi told me. You don't need to make takanas. It's like laissez-faire. It happens by itself. There's certain, when you try to get too much involved in controlling people, it's a disaster. Don't control. Don't. When you try to control people, when you tamper with the natural, most people are good. They're not trying to show off and give other people agmas nefesh. Most people have enough seichel that if you're making a simcha and the other people who can't afford, other people that are struggling b'chlal to make a simcha altogether. People have daughters and children, shidduchim, and struggle. Most people have enough seichel to realize, don't rub it in. Don't rub it into other people.
Why does it work so well by the Hasidishers?
Who says it works well?
They do.
Who says it works well? It doesn't necessarily. Everyone has milus and chisroinus. There's no perfect solution for anyone. Everything has milus and chisroinus. And one thing seems to be pretty clear, that generally the less you interfere, this is just general rule in government and general rule in society, is that don't interfere. Let things play out naturally. And when they play out naturally, generally, sometimes, it can work out a lot better than when people start exercising control and start controlling people.
Social engineering. Do you ever read Lord of the Flies?
What?
Do you ever read Lord of the Flies?
No. All right.
In Rabbi Schreiber's shul, they said standard one hot dish.
Okay.
If someone brought more, they looked the other way, but someone who had less, I mean, that's the standard.
Okay.
You know, so.
Okay, whatever. You're dealing with a small. Okay, you know, you're dealing with a small group. When you're dealing with a small group, it's much easier. When you're dealing with a very large group, you're dealing with Hasidim, there are 5,000 people, or even dealing with a yeshiva that has a few hundred. Every shul is different. Every shul is different. You cannot generalize.
I'm just saying that's the way it was.
Right.
And then, you know,
this mizmor is a very good go-to.
Chaim Berlin, I remember the old Kiddush of Chaim Berlin was just cake and soda. That's all.
Seltzer, not even flavored soda. Seltzer and sponge cake. Okay, I think the only time when they have a nice Kiddush is when they have the Kiddush for the Chassanim, the Chassan Torah. The Chassan Torah, Chassan Bereishis, Mishum Kovet HaTorah. So then the yeshiva, they go to town. That's the only nice kiddush they have. They have the mechabed for the Chassan Torah, one of the members of the kollel. They don't give it to any of the rabbeim or the rashivas. The mechabed, a member of the kollel, and the Chassan Torah kiddush, they go to town. Who pays for it? I don't know. Probably yeshiva pays for it. They have private sponsors. That they go to town. Stamazoi, they have.
Chassan halls have sort of different standards.
Okay,
you know, if you go into Ateris, the Finca or whatever, there's a Finca.
It's very expensive.
You'd
be shocked how expensive these places are now.
There are Takonas.
Some of them are very expensive. Okay, whatever it is, this mizmar is the mizmar, the go-to mizmar to delve into money. Money. It repeats itself 10 times over. The futility. I want to just read the mitzvahs because this is the last one. I want to read the mitzvahs again one more time with these words over here. And then I want to review the entire mizmar, just the psukim to review. Let's first finish on page 444. I just want to read the mitzvahs one more time after we went over this pasuk. So again, we learned what the word tovai means. It's giving us instructions. The dor avosav means study the past. And Netzach means, and use that as a tool to how to deal with the future. Lo yiru'ar, appreciate that the people who have engaged in this activity, this attitude, that there's nothing other than money, they will never merit olam haba. Or means the olam haba. And then the next pasuk says, an adam v'lo yavin, a person that does not want to understand this. What? The bikar, the lesson of money. Bikar is a code word for money. If he doesn't want to understand this, he has to understand that nimshol kabemos nidmu, he's an animal. He's just like the tzoyin of the previous psukim, that when they die, their guf and neshama descend into the grave, and there's nothing becomes of them. Let's take a look at the mitzvah stuff one more time, because this is very, very critical, this mizmar. Every day. Pasuk by pasuk. People are in such a rush to get out of that base level. They're in such a rush to get out of there, so that I don't know if it's going to work to say pasuk by pasuk. The people, like the plague, a base level. I'll tell you one thing. I went somewhere to an oval not that long ago, and every time you go, you learn something new. So I'm used to Flatbush, you know. You go to base oval. So after davening is over, everyone lines up, and let's say there's a lot of people. They come for mincha. There's 50 people in the room, and they all go to the aval and go hamaki minach. Everyone, you know, you file through in a long line, and you have to wait on line until everyone, you know, to get your turn to voila. So I went to out of town. And a more modern Orthodox, like how I grew up, young Israel, modern Orthodox, and they have a rabbi. The assistant rabbi was very good, and he's you know, leading the congregation in the Beis Avel. He was excellent. And then he says, after that, there was a lot of people there for Mincha. Even yeshivsha people were there. And the rabbi said, okay, and now we're all going to say together, in unison, Ha-mokom yinachem, and everyone left. I said, wow, what a good idea. We should do this in Flatbush. We all say it together. It was very dignified. It was very good, very dignified. Everyone said it together. No one had to wait online. No one had to get sick and get a cold, get COVID from being in proximity with too many people. What? Why not? What's halacha? What's the halacha? There's no halacha.
That you should be benaching the avel
together. Well, there's a halacha.
What do you do Friday night?
There's a exactly. Hamakim yinachem eschem. You know how strange this was. There was an avel on my block, and I davened Friday night in this real yeshivish place, a greasy yeshivish. I come into shul. I daven mincha early. So I came in the beginning of Kabbalah Shabbos. I came there the first mizmah. I came a little bit late up to the first mizmah, and I see the Ovel, he's sitting in the hall. And right away I had a flash from the young Israel. When I grew up in the young Israel, it was very common, maybe every, I would say, 3 weeks at least, right before you say mizmah shir liyom haShabbos, right after you finish. You finish L'cha Doidi, my father would give a clap on the bima, and he would say, Nichum Aveilim, Nichum, and everyone, then the Ovel would march in, Hamokom Yinachem Eschem. Right, so the people here in this shul, they never saw this. They never saw that. I don't know why. I really don't know why. They never saw this. I told the Rashiv wasn't there, because it's a Friday night, whatever. And so I looked for the chief Talmud Chacham, the person I know whoever. I said to him, you know, there's an oval in the hall. He's one of the people here, Zunichem Avelim. So he starts telling me all this lundis that he can't do it. I said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Look in the art scroll sitter. Look, it's right here. And he says, listen, I'm not a poisek. I just being ma'oirer, the oval is out in the hall, and he would be willing, I'm sure he'd be willing, he would come in, So he says to me, this is a very big Talmud Chacham. He never, his whole life, ever saw this. Never. He's a very big Talmud. I said, this is what you do. This is the Minhag Yisrael. And there was a guy sitting, he says, yeah, they do this. They really do this. This is like a modern guy. They really do this. That's right. That's what they do in all the shoes. So he goes, is this your father did this? I said, yeah, he did this every week. He says, okay, I'm not, if this is, if you tell me that this is your father, call Akavod. So I went, this is like a couple of weeks ago, I gave a clap, like my father used to do, Nichum Avelim. And he came in, and many people said, Mokam Yinachem, and it was a novelty to me that some of these people, they never saw this their whole life. They never saw this minhag. Why not?
One of the reasons is because the really Ashkenazim should not do it either.
Yeah.
Because used to be in the old.
Rabbi, please listen to our baruch speaking. Rabbi, listen.
200 years ago.
Yeah.
Kabbal Shabbos very early.
Okay.
It was still when the Avelim came in. It was still before the Shkia.
Okay.
So the Menachem Avol. Okay. We're Menachem. It's after the Shkia. It's Shabbos already.
So we discussed this.
So there's a different. There's a different nusach you can use. You can use a different.
Shabbos he Menachemchem.
Yeah. I'm just saying. But by my Rebbe Zichron the Bracha, we did not say anything. The Avol came in. They didn't say anything. Just snuck in from the back. We didn't say anything.
Okay, so Rabbi Baruch said that his Rebbe Zitz Halts did not do this. This is what this Talmud Chacham told me. He told me the same thing, and I argued with him, and I showed it, and I argued with him. But Rabbi Zitz Halts says the same thing is there's no Avelus on Shabbos Befarhesia. There's no Avelus. And it's after Shkia. When by the time you say Mizmashil Yom HaShabbos, it's way after Shkia. and we daven mincha about 10 minutes before shkia. So the time we finish mincha, it's already after shkia. And certainly by the time we get up to Mishulim Shabbos, so he says it's avelus b'fahesya. So I said to him, this is not avelus. This is nichum avelum. This is a halacha. You're allowed. It's a good thing to go be menachem and ovel on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be noig avelus on Shabbos.
I thought at Gravini Shul in Ashkelon that Shabbos day, after they finished davening, there was an ovel sitting in the back. Everyone gathered around him.
It's a Mishnah in Masechet Tainis. They would come Mimidus, the avel, anyone who was an ovel would come to the Beis Hamikdash. They would stand there, and everyone would file and go in, and they would say, "Hamish Shoychem Abayis Hazeh." When did this happen? Shabbos. Umide Shabbos b'Shabbatoy. Umide Chodesh b'Chodesh. Umide Shabbos b'Shabbatoy. There's a fundamental difference between being noyheg avelus and being the recipient of nechama. In the Art School Siddur, I mean, it's mamish, right? The Art School Siddur is already, you know, the global melting pot of Klal Yisrael. It's printed right there in nice big letters.
There's a rabbinic board that approved it.
Nicham Aveilim. So it's not so far-fetched. So yet... You can say Hamakam. There's a preferred Nusach. There's a preferred. Doesn't mean you can't say the regular Nusach. The preferred Nusach is to say, Shabbos hi menachemchem. May Shabbos be what gives you comfort. And I think I've got the end. The last words, Shabbos hi menachemchem. I don't remember the end, the last words,
so
but
it's whole
a whole absolutely. And in fact, you can say the nusach. People don't know the hamokah minachem even after shiva is over. Very often, people do not find out until after the person already got up from shiva. You can go and you can be menachem oval someone after they get up from shiva. You can go visit them. You can sit with them. They're not going to be sitting on the floor. For an entire year, you can be mekayim the mitzvah of nichum avelim.
For father or mother.
For father or father, why only father or mother?
Because the avelim is a whole year.
30 days. Okay, until 30 days. What?
Only by parents a year. The other relatives.
30 days. Sorry, 30 days. Parents, there. My mother always said that when my grandmother passed away, Rav Schneerkoller was very close with my grandfather. So when my grandmother passed away, so Rav Schneerkoller, he was unable to come to Menachem Avil. He came to be Menachem Avil the day or maybe a few days after my mother and my grandfather got up from Shiva. And he made a special trip. He came in from Lakewood. He came in to be Menachem Avil. They're not saying Shiva anymore. So what? He came. Can we come be Menachem Avil? He comes. He sits down. Obviously, the Avelim are not sitting on the floor. And he sat with them and spoke to them for a period of time. A special trip to be Menachem Avil, even though the Shiva already is over. And when it's over, you say, Hamokam Menachem Eschem. It doesn't have to be within... Obviously, during the first 7 days, that's the most intense. That's the pain, the most intense time. But the din of Nichum Avilim goes on, and Nichum Avilim is on Shabbos also. Okay, so Rabbi Baruch is saying that his Rebbe, and not going to, his Rebbe was Kodesh Kodashim. Rabbi Zitzhal held that the ikur time to really do this is when they daven Mincha, when they did Kabbalah Shabbos early. We have a big problem today, because when we say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, we are in almost 99% of the shuls, for sure, you're saying Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos way past Shkia. Well, it depends what time you call the saints. Okay, but way past Shkia, and L'Cho'ora, the din of saying Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos is the acceptance of Shabbos, and if we want to be Mekabel Shabbos, Tosefa Shabbos, L'chadchila, you should have Tosefa Shabbos at least a few minutes before Shkia, which women do. Women light candles 18 minutes before Shkia. Many of them probably don't end up lighting until more like 5 minutes before Shkia, or 10 minutes, whatever it is. But the same way a woman is Mekabel Shabbos early to Mekayim the mitzvah of Tosefa Shabbos, it's ideal for a man also to be Mekabel Shabbos before Shkia. The official Kabbalah is when you say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Obviously, Baruch Hu is even better, right? Baruch Hu is but mizmah shel yemei Shabbos. So some will argue that as long as you didn't do milacha b'diyeved, shebediyeved, retroactively, you were mekabel Shabbos from the time you already stopped doing milacha. From the time you walked out of your house and there's nothing in your pockets and you go to shul to daven mincha, even though it's tarti de sashri, I'm davening mincha first, I'm going to say, listen, I didn't do malacha, I went to shul. So already at the time when I went to shul, or at least the moment I finished my sarlin shemona esrei and there was at least two more minutes left until shkia, oh, that should be my Kabbalah Shabbos early retroactively. It's quite a doichik to say that, but what else are you going to say? Because we have nothing else to rely on, because we're saying Mizrach Shalim HaShabbos Shabbos way past the Zman. So you're saying that since in the earlier times they would say Mizrach Shalim HaShabbos, they would daven Mincha Taka very early, and they would do this ceremony at that point in time. It was Taka during the weekday, so it didn't appear to be an expression of Avelus Bifarhesia. Because in the people's minds, when you see an Avel, and you say HaMokam Yinachim Eschem, it's like Nidarim. Halech achar l'shoyin b'nei adam. When you see an ovel and you say ha'mokem yinachim eschem, it in your mind, oh, this is avelus. It's not really avelus because they're not being noig avelus, and you're not doing anything to them. You're giving them nechama, and nechama can be done on Shabbos.
What do you say to someone who's
an onein? An onein does nothing. Onein does nothing. Onein, an onein, right? One Shabbos comes, there's no aninus on Shabbos. An onein does not. You don't give him the chama. There is no nechama to an onein. I don't know if that's really true.
Sorry, you know what?
You can talk to him like you're sorry. Yeah, you could do whatever you want to say to him. Is it a called din of nechama? Halachically, I don't think so. Nechama begins after an avelus. It's before. An onein says kaddish. An onein says, let's say a person dies on Friday, and the funeral is not going to be until Sunday. So over that Shabbos, the onein says kaddish. Yes. Some, they do say there's no harm saying kaddish. Okay, if he doesn't want to say kaddish, he doesn't have to say kaddish. But definitely, there's definitely the minig you see very commonly. The minig is to say kaddish, and over Shabbos there's no avelus. The Ram Shabbat Sina, but not there's everything is regular. And then after Shabbos, there's all shiloh with havdalah. Let's go back. All right, so I wanted to read again these words one more time. I wanted to read these words in this mizmar. I'm allowing myself to get way too sidetracked. Let's go page 445. One more time, these. I just want to review because it's very important words. Tavai. Okay, Rabbi Sai. Let's review right. Tavai. Kasher. Tavai lahaskel. The word again. This is a very, very difficult mizmar. It's a kedai to appreciate every single word. Tavo over here means when you will come. What you have to is adding words over here. Kasher. Tavai lahaskel. When you will come to appreciate. To understand the depth of this matter, the futility of having an attitude that there's nothing in this world but money, af ad gimul, even ad gimul dor avoysof, asher gam kein hoyso kol chemdosam le'esoif hoin. Now, this is very hard, the translation, what he's saying over here. It appears to be, you have to like even read what the Mitzvah says backwards. Look at the previous generations. Look at those people who lived with an attitude that the only thing that counts is money. Look what became of them. Look at the gemul. Gemul means the reward they received. Look at what became of their families, what became of them. The people who live with this attitude, there's nothing but money. When you come to be taskil, when you will arrive at understanding the gemul, the way it plays out.
Consequence.
The consequence, exactly. Great, the consequences. The gemul means the consequences of the previous generations, of those people who really live with this attitude, then, oz tovin, then you're going to understand sha'ad netzach, lo yiru or oylam haba, you will see that forever. I'm assuming what he means is that anyone going forward who tries to imitate those people, they will not merit Olam Haba. It's not going to get you anywhere when the attitude is, this is where it starts and ends. Adam Bikar.
The proper
from the Bidduk, Avo Ador Avotav. It's not Ador Avotecha.
Not your forefathers, other people's fathers. Okay, Rashi's different. I just want to do one thing at a time. I know Rashi can be very different. I just want to just focus on the mitzudas. You're right. Inechem, you believe that we'll come to it soon. Next pasuk of Aleph, Adam Bikar Ritzon Elohim. Okay, for the mitzudas is saying Ritzon Elohim means fasten your seatbelts. Obviously, as we've seen, these pasukim are so difficult. The only way to make sense out of them is to embellish them with many other words. Ritzon Elohim, Af Tavin, also understand. Ki ha'adam asher hu bikar ha'osher, a person who is in a state of extreme wealth. Bikar means not just, you know, making a living. Person has a lot of zeros after that one. He's in a state of extreme wealth and v'lo yav, and he doesn't get it. He just doesn't appreciate that this is not going to be the source of his olam haba. V'lo yavin leval yasim boy, does not pay attention that kol chem leval yasim boy, kol chem dasay v'liv toyach boy, does not. He fails to understand that he should not put his confidence, his hope, in his wealth. This person is compared to an animal. He is lacking intelligence. An animal doesn't understand this, obviously. And a person that doesn't understand this, unfortunately, is comparing himself to an animal. All right, that concludes this mizmor. So I want to now read the mizmor, just the psukim, without going through the mitzvot, just to get, again, an appreciation of what we've learned over here. This is a critical mizmor. We say this by the Beis Ovel, to appreciate what it says. Let's go back and read very quickly. Page 432. Okay, 432. Lamatzeach livnei karach mizmor, for the conductor. Livnei Korach, the author are the Bnei Korach, Mizmar, they're here giving us a song. It is for them to say this because their father was the richest man in the world. And where did the wealth take their father and their family and all those followers? Into the grave. So they can relate that if you don't watch out, if you are blessed to be in that category like their father, and have all the money of the world, look where it can take you. Shimuzois kol ha'amim hazinu kol yoshvei choled. This principle is universal. It's not miyuchad only for Jews. It's for the entire world, all of the nations. Listen, kol yoshvei choled, all the inhabitants of the earth. The earth is called, according to, choled. I'm already forgetting with the mitzvah stuff. There are many, over here, it's end of the psoif pasuk, so it's choled. And over here, we have that there are many interpretations as to the precise meaning of the mitzvah. We're doing now the mitzvah. The David, he learned, meant people who live in a temporary world. Choled, he learned the mitzvah Tzion, Anshei Hazman, people of the time. Why is the word choled called Zman? Maybe it means rust. Chaluda. Chaluda is rust. It means oxidation. It means it had better days. Old and rusty means time has passed and it's seen better days. So the word choled is a metaphor that this world is not going to be around forever, or our stay on this world is temporary. And just like metal eventually will rust and is not going to be of value, it's going to be brittle because of the chemical process that it goes through during this period of time, so too we have to acknowledge that we're not going to be around in this world forever. Gam b'nei Adam, here is being poetic. This principle applies to all of mankind. There are no exceptions. Gam b'nei Adam, gam b'nei Ish, yachad ashir v'evyon, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, even the poorest man, he also has these dreams to achieve wealth. Pi yedaber chochmois, my mouth is now going to speak with words of wisdom. The hagus libi tivunois, the thoughts of my heart have contained the depth of understanding. And you can discern, you can infer what's in my heart from the words that I'm going to say. And now he says, Ate l'moshol ozni, and then he says something very interesting. This message is not just for you out there listening, it's for me also. I also am going to learn the lessons of what I'm about to tell you. I'm not just talking to the audience, I'm talking also to myself. Ata, I will tilt, bend, l'moshol, to the proverb, ozni, my ears, eftach b'chino chidasi, I will open my riddle, I'm going to give you examples, riddle, and I'm going to open this up with a chinor, with a musical accompaniment. Why would I want to go use musical accompaniment to this? Because as we mentioned, we learned this, it opens up the heart. When you have music, music creates some type of emotion, and it allows the mind, it opens up the mind for the message to sink in. Just like when you watch a clip online or whatever, a movie or some television show, and they have music that accompanies a certain scene. The music, it opens up your mind for the message to penetrate. And here he goes. What do I have to say? Lama ira bimei ra avoin akeva ye sabuni. What should I be afraid of at the days of ra? It's the avoin. This is the mashal. What does a person have to be afraid of when his time comes to leave this world? He's asking a question. Lama ira bimei ra. Bimei ra here means a time when a person is vulnerable. When is he vulnerable? Either when he dies, or when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding himself, Hashem is allowing in this world for there to be a zman of hester upon him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing the forces of evil to overtake man, a person then needs great merit to survive. When we are vulnerable, when it's a time of ra, we need merit. So what are we worried about? Most people are not murderers. Most people don't engage in avodah zarah gilirai shvichas damim. So what does the average person have to worry about during these times when he's vulnerable? The small things. Avak lashon hara. Maybe he wasn't so nizer in shmiras seinayim. Maybe he wasn't so nizer in the fine points, the little things, talking during davening, things that we don't consider to be such severe things. That's what the average person. So he goes on to say, if that's what you have to be worried about, al achas kama v'kama ben b'nei shel kal v'chaymer, you should worry if your whole hashkafa in life is one big lie. If a person is worried about the little things, about talking during davening, maybe you should worry about if you committed murder. What do you mean? I didn't commit murder. Okay, you didn't commit murder, but you did something even worse. You lived a life where the only thing that counts is money. Every decision you made in life was based on money. That is even worse than murder. Not worse than murder, but that's even worse for yourself. If you're worried about, this is his riddle, it's kal v'chomer, his mashal, and it's called as a mashal. Lo mi'ira b'mei ra. What are you worried about at the time of ra? You know what is the answer? I'm worried about the avoin akeva yitzubeni, the sins of my heels, the lightweight sins. They're going to surround me, and they're going to conquer me, and they're going to make me vulnerable to Hashem. Is not then I'm not going to be protected from the force of evil. Oh, that's what you're worried about. I got some news to you. Why don't you use that as a springboard, a kal v'chomer, to realize there's something even more important you should worry about. Worry about the fact that your whole life was guided by money. Haboitchim al chelam, those who had faith on their wealth, uvaroiv ashram yishalalu, they praised themselves, they lorded over people, they thought they're better than other people because of their wealth. And guess what? Now all your money is not going to save you. If a person has a brother, who we're calling the person, if there's an ish, and this ish is in trouble with the law because he did something very, very bad, the och, his brother who loves him, is not going to be able to save him with all the money in the world. Lo yitin l'elokim kofra. He's not going to be able to give l'elokim, not to Hashem, not to the authority, his redemption. The money's not going to get you anywhere. V'yekar pidyoy nafsham v'chodal lo'olam. And that means, I forgot already what this means. V'yekar, the mitzvah stuff, it says, it's going to be too expensive. V'yekar, it's going to be beyond your means to redeem their neshamos. All of your money will not be enough. The mitzvah stuff, it says, v'yekar will be too expensive. L'haftois es ha-nefesh hu-davar yokar. To redeem a neshama, it's very expensive. V'lo yisoyf davar she-yokar hu el afilu she-chodah hu li-olam. He will disappear. He will cease to exist forever. In other words, there's nothing you can do to save that soul with your money. It's a play on the words. The Yekar Pinyan Nafsham, it's precious to redeem the neshama of a guilty person, and all of the wealth of the world is not going to be able to achieve that redemption. V'chodal le'olam, it is afilu shechodal hu le'olam ve'enoy nimsa klal. I'm not sure what that means. I think it means over here is that the opportunity to do so does not exist forever. The ability to redeem a neshama with money is something which is non-existent. V'chi oid lo netzach lo yireh hashochas. Next words are, even if a person would live forever and would not see the grave, it's not going to make a difference. Now, I forgot, we learned this, and I just totally forgot what this means. The Mitzvah Stavit Pasuk Yud says, V'af im harbe yichya, even if a person will live forever, okay, I'm sorry, even if a person will live for a very long time, V'chi kama, the way the Mitzvah Stavit learns, it seems like he's ignoring the meseg. You see the word vichi is connected to the word oid. He's saying the v'af im harbe yichye kama, even if he'll live for a very long time. But guess what? No one lives forever. Vichi yihye yichye oid lo netzach v'lo yire es hashochas. Okay, I didn't appreciate what we learned the last time. So after the word v'chi, you have to put a hard break. V'chi, a person is very wealthy. He goes to the longevity center, and he pays a lot of money and he relies upon his wealth. Good, you have a lot of money. You can eat healthy. You can have fresh air, and you're going to preserve your health, and you're going to live forever. V'chi. I'm going to live, even if you live for a very long time, but a person has to realize, oid lo netzach, lo yireh hashochas. Do you really think you're going to be around in this world forever and you're not going to see the grave? And you're going to, your money is going to keep you here forever? It doesn't go like that. Everyone eventually leaves. Ki yireh chachamim yamusu, he should see, this person should take note that even the wisest of all men, they die. Yachad kisil vavohar yevedu v'ozvu lacherim chelon. Look around and take note that no one lives forever, and all of their wealth eventually disappears. It goes b'yerusha to people that didn't lift a finger. Person slaves away his whole life, accumulates wealth, and where does it all go? It goes to the government. Chas v'shalom. It goes to others. Kirbam batemo
there's no will.
Okay. Kirbam batemo le'olam mishkenaisam ledar vadar karu vishmoisam ale adamais. So review the Mitzudas David, Pasuk Gibbeis. Kirbam imku, all of this doesn't matter. Even though I'm telling you this Musar, it doesn't matter. You don't believe me. No one's going to believe what I'm telling you. No one believes they're going to die. Kirbam means inside of their minds, kirbam im kol zayachshu bekerev limam, inside their hearts and minds, a person does not believe everything that we've learned. They think in their minds, batemo le'olam, their homes, their establishment is forever. Mishkanaisim, their dwelling place, ledar vadar, karu v'shmaisim ale adamos, and they continue to call out their name all over the land, as if there's no end. They plan to establish themselves. They make reservations way into the future. Long live their life expectancy to vacation in these locations. They call up and they put down my name and want to reserve this beautiful island for my vacation in the year 2095. You're going to be around at that time in the year 2095? Of course I'm going to be around in that time. Their names, they call out their names, Ale Adamos. V'adam bikar bal yolin, a person, this is back what we said before, a person who looks at his wealth and does not appreciate that bal yolin, he will not take it with him. And this is the very hard part that we said before, just the words of the Mitzudos. V'adam bikar, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Adam Bikar, Haloi Ein Adam Batuach Bikar Oishar Sheyolin Imoy Ad HaBoker. No one is guaranteed that the money will remain forever. The words of the Mitzvah are Haloi Ein HaAdam, there is no man that is Batuach, that is confident, Bikar Oishar, in the glory of his wealth, Sheyolin Imoy Ad HaBoker. V'yim kain, mahi oisher. No one's guaranteeing. V'adam bikar bal yolin. It's a statement of Hashem, of the one who wrote this mizmar. There is no person that is guaranteed that the money yolin. Yolin, you have to read. It's very hard to translate. Yolin means the money will be with him forever. Mm-hmm. There's no, the fact that the money will yolin bal. There's no guarantee, and a person, Adam Bikar, a person has to acknowledge that his wealth, there is no guarantee that the wealth will remain forever. And anyone that does not do so is a fool. Nimshal kabehemos nidmu. You're eating into the Pasuk over here, like 10, 15 words to make sense of the Pasuk. The Pasuk Yogimel over here is being said again one more time, that an Adam who fails to appreciate that Bikar, his wealth, Bal Yolin, there is no guarantee that it will be around forever. Anyone that fails to make this, to come to this realization and to accept it as a fact, he's Nimshal Kabehemois Nidmu. Two words which mean the same thing, put a behem in the middle, he's like an animal. Zedarkam Kesel Lomoy, this is the way of the foolish people. That's their way. V'acharehem Befihem Yirtzu Sela. And after they die, other people, Yisapu Shabni Adam Viyirtsu Devadim Befiim, saying, I'm reading the wrong part, the Acharayim, the children, so look at them, page 441, Viachim, Af Benim Abam Acharayim, Gamhim Yirtsu Li'olam Imrifiyav Oseyim. And what's tragic over here is, he's saying here, is that unfortunately these people, they pass over this attitude to their children. Not only are there foolish people that they themselves think that their money will be with them forever, they even teach this to their children. The acharehem, the next generation, b'fihem, they say with their mouths, yirtzu. Yirtzu means they express the same attitude. It's acceptable. It's acceptable, the attitude of their parents, Sela, forever, to continue in this foolish way. He's describing over here the human condition. People never, ever learn from their mistakes. That's just part of reality. People make mistakes, and they just cannot break out of their mistakes. And then, Katsoin, Lishol, Shatu, these people, they set themselves up like sheep. Moves, Yireim, death causes them to become shattered. their guf and their neshama, v'yirdu bam yisharim la boiker, and even in their lifetime, when their time comes, even in their lifetimes, we have to read this whole pasuk backwards. Remember, it's a very hard pasuk. We have to go backwards. Mizuvuloi, they're taken suddenly from their abode. From their zvul, they're suddenly taken like sheep to the grave, and when they go into the grave, they're shattered. And all this happens at the time of Geula, when the Yesharim rule over them, and their strength is rots away. So let's read the pasuk backwards. Mizvuloi. Zvul means an abode. The super wealthy are sitting in their palaces, believing that this is their stronghold. Suddenly, the boker arrives, a new time comes, and then vayirdu vam yisharim, the righteous take over, the people who believe in Hashem. And when that happens, tsuram, these individuals that are sitting in their palaces, now experiencing the boker arriving, and the tzaddikim dominating and ruling, their strength withers away. And they're taken like sheep into the grave, and the maves, death, shatters them, and they levaloi shol, they rot in the grave. Pretty scary stuff here. And then af Elokim, then they cry out to Hashem in the grave, af Elokim yifte nafshim yad shol, ki yikocheni sol, they ask Hashem, please take my neshama upwards. Al tira pirida. That's what they cry out. Oh, now they realize how foolish they were. Then the pasuk goes on to say to the regular people, don't be impressed by the wealth of mankind. Al tira ki asher ish ki yerbik vod beso ki loy vimos vikach hakol lo yerid acharav kivodo. He will not take with him his honor. Ki nafshoy b'chayav yivarech v'yoducho ki seitiv loch. The wicked person praises himself. A wicked person, ki nafsho v'chayav yivurach. That's the difference between these people and other people. These people, they praise themselves. But a person who is seitiv loch, improves his neshama through Torah yirashamayim, yoducho will be praised by others. And then the last episode that we did today, tavoy ador avosav ad netzach, look back and study the previous generations, learn the lesson ad netzach, lo yiru ar, nothing's going to change. People will go down this path that they're never going to see olam haba. Adam bikar v'lo yavin, like a play on the words. Before it says v'lo yolin, here it's v'lo yavin. A person who refuses to appreciate this, he's compared to an animal. This lesson that adam bikar, that the wealth of man is not going to be around forever. All right, this is extremely difficult.
Why is he directing it only to seem to be the super wealthy? Rather than, middle class man.
Everyone, even the poor, it says in the beginning, of the Mizmar. In the very beginning of the Mizmar, it says everyone, there's no one, even in Evyon, destitute. This is not only the super rich, even the poorest man. We said so many times, it's nothing more than an attitude. Gam pasuk gimel, gam b'nei adam, gam b'nei ish, yachad oshir ve'evyon. We're dealing here with the super duper destitute people. They have the same issue. This is part of the human condition. No one is an exception to this. All right, it's very late. Let's stop it. We want to do afterwards a little bit about Asar B'Teves.
Today we are